What is Newton? Newton is digital. Newton is personal. Newton is magic. Newton is as powerful as a computer. Newton is as simple as a piece of paper. Newton is intelligent. Newton learns about you, understands you. Newton is news. Newton can receive a page, it sends faxes, and soon electronic mail. Newton lets you communicate with the whole world, and if there's anything this world could use, it is more communication.
Cast the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Airphone on Airphone Elijah. That is not what I was gonna say. joining me today, I can't speak. Three manly men. Tim Cook has actually often named them the sexiest men covering Apple. I can only be talking about Leander Caney, Buster Hein, and Alex Excelsior Heath. Welcome, guys.
Hey, hey.
My name is not Airfon Vagina.
Leander. Vagina.
That's how it came out.
But I find it interesting that that's what you heard, perv.
Well, that's what
you know, but even that nickname is better than what you used to call me, Barfon. Which is the mixture of Buster and my name mixed together in Leander's mind. Welcome to the Cult Cast, everyone. What a show we have for you guys today. We are going to be hearing from Alex Excelsior Heath. You guys, some of you may know, Alex has a very special announcement. So we're going to be talking to him about that. We're also going to be talking about Alex E. Heath is becoming a nudist and moving away. We're also going to be talking about the iPhone 6S and why it could be the biggest incremental update ever. And if you stick around to the end, just when I thought I'd seen it all, you know, we've been to CES. We've seen some pretty wacky iPhone accessories. Some pretty wacky ones. I remember one that, speaking of vaginas, Leander, you would put into your vagina and it would like play. It would like hit the beats of the music that you're listening to. Do you remember this?
What was it?
Don't act like you didn't buy one.
Sorry, Tracy called. Just I was trying to text her.
Do you remember that device at CES some time ago that you would like put into your naughty bits and it would like beat to the music that you're listening to?
Like Oh My Bod? Was that what it was called?
It might have been that. The point being, I've seen some pretty wacky iPhone accessories, and we'll be talking about one that might be the weirdest I've ever seen. If you stick around to the very end, it also might be brilliant. So we'll be covering that at the very end. Before we hop into the Alex Excelsior Heath story, which is going to make us laugh, it's going to make us cry, I want to say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Now, I'll be honest, I hadn't really heard a lot about Casper before I heard they were going to be sponsoring the show. And I was like, sweet, Casper, do they make like things that you could use to capture ghosts, like the Ghostbusters? I was really excited and I did some investigation. And alas, that is not what they sell. But their product is also pretty cool. They sell mattresses, Casper mattresses. They're kind of like a modern day bedding company. And like a lot of sponsors that we have on our show, they are cutting out the middleman and they're selling their product directly to consumers so that they can have a very high quality product and charge a fair price for it. And actually, Alex, you were saying when we were talking about them earlier that you're actually thinking about buying a Casper mattress.
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
seriously, he's not just saying that. He was like, I was thinking about buying one.
Yeah, I was on their website like a couple nights ago, actually looking at other podcasts who had Casper as sponsor. I was like, I don't think they've sponsored us yet. So I was like looking for their their codes.
Yeah.
And luckily I waited because...
Dude, I got some codes for you.
Dude.
I got some codes for you. So let me tell you about Casper. They make a memory foam bed that's topped with latex. They're very high quality. They're made in America. And I will tell you my own personal bedding story, of which I have very many. But I recently got a new bed. I won't tell you any of those ones, Alex. I recently got a new bed, and I can honestly say it changed my life. I used to wake up sore all the time. I would wake up, my back would be sore, my arm would be asleep. And I went out and spent probably about $1,500 on a bed. It's a queen-size bed. And then in addition to that, I bought a memory foam pad. And those two things together changed my life. I no longer wake up in the middle of the night. I no longer wake up with a numb limb a numb member, as it were. I no longer wake up with back pain. I never do. It totally fixed my problem. That's because the mattress and the memory foam working together cradle my man body in all the right ways. Well, that's what Casper makes. They make high-end memory foam beds topped with latex. And when you sleep in them, they kind of grip you and comfort you and give you an excellent quality sleep. But unlike the bed that I bought, which was $1,500 for a queen, theirs is only $1,000 or maybe even $950 for their king-size bed. And if you use code CULTCAST at checkout, you can actually save another $50 on any mattress purchase over at casper.com/CULTCAST and then use code CULTCAST at checkout. There you go, Alex.
It's so cool how they ship it to you in a box.
Yeah, they ship it to you in a big, like, sealed...
But the box isn't that big for what, like, I've seen videos of the way the bed, like, unfolds out of the box.
Yeah, it unfolds. They have a special machine at the factory to fold them up into the box, and then it unfolds when you open up the box. And it's supposed to be the best way to get it into the house. It's supposed to be really easy.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem is getting rid of your old mattress.
You mean?
Well, that's it. We met up with them at CES, and I lay down, and I didn't want to get up again. I thought it was great.
And they're like, sir. Sir. You're like, what? I should have mentioned this earlier. You can get a risk-free trial. And this is actually my favorite part, is they will ship one to your house, try it out for 100 days. And if you don't like it, they'll actually come get it for free. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. You're not going to have to pay a bunch of money to send it back. And they'll take it back for free. Thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper.com/CULTCAST. And the code is CULTCAST at checkout. Alex...
Yes.
I'm not sure if this is good news, if it's sad news. It's probably good news for Leander, sad news for me. What is going on in your life? You have a special announcement.
Yeah, I am, after 3 great years at Cult of Mac, I am joining Business Insider next month in New York City.
Oh,
it's a tech reporter.
No.
You.
I was delighted. It's not bad news. I was totally delighted. I think it's
you
great.
You traitor. You damn traitor. You disgust me.
Yeah,
so, I'm happy for you, man. That's great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're building something new there that everyone will see soon. And it's exciting. I'm really excited.
So if you live in New York and you see super tall guy with glasses walking around, go up, actually, put your arm around him. It might be Alex.
It might be me. And I haven't gotten a place yet. So if any of our wonderful listeners would like would like me to stay on their couch. Definitely,
wow.
I would
careful
do that.
What you wish for there, dude.
And I would do unlimited Walken impersonations.
Oh.
I would literally just talk as Walken the entire time. So if people want me to sleep on their couches, I'd be more than willing. It doesn't matter how weird you are.
Oh, boy.
Hit me up, Alex E. Heath.
You were just asking for sleep assault, my friend.
Yep. Hit me up on Twitter or something. We'll make it happen.
We would just ask that you not touch Alex while he's sleeping.
No, please do.
Don't attempt to sleep assault him.
No, that's fine. That's really fine.
Well, that's great. I'm happy that you found something that is bigger, and I'm not going to say better than what we have going here, but because obviously not. You're moving down in the world, but that's okay. You found something that you love.
Exactly. I know we can sign up. I know.
But hey, you know, to each their own. If you want to move down in the world, that's cool. We're happy for you. And I said this to you when you told me initially. You're always welcome to come back. I don't know if you ever will.
Yeah, no, I would love to. Yeah, I mean, probably not. Probably, I mean, honestly, I haven't been coming on as regularly anyway, but probably, you know, it wouldn't be as frequently, but I'll definitely be back. This is not the last you'll hear of me. Can't get rid of me that easy.
Unless you get killed in New York City, which is a distinct possibility.
Yeah.
Alex is going to be back next week, and then that will be his last show for a while, but we'll definitely have him back on. We have to have you wrap up next week's show with an impression of some
I'm gonna I'll probably cry.
I think I will probably cry as well.
Yeah,
tears like
probably be crying at the dreadful impressions.
Yeah, we'll be crying as you do the impressions. I'll be crying because I'm just gonna miss you so much. Well, thank you for sharing with us, Alex. And I know some people had already heard that on Twitter and stuff, but we wanted to make it official. Alex E. Heath is no more to us. He's dead to us.
He's dead to us,
and we hate him now. But he's here now, so we'll have him contribute. Oh, wait, we're not going to you with this story. We're going to Buster. No. Let's talk about the iPhone 6S, Buster, shall we? Word on the street is we're about to get the biggest incremental update ever released by Apple in this world or another. Please tell us about it.
Dude, tons of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, new color options.
What?
Yeah, like rose gold, because I know you're all about that.
That's the one Alex wants.
I love gold.
Rose gold? Does that mean, is that going to be shiny gold or sort of
more? Well, I think that's more of like a duller, rosier.
It's going to look like the Apple Watch.
Pinker gold, yeah. But and then there's, you don't like that?
Well, they're shiny, aren't they? The Apple Watches, they're your classic gold.
But they also have options for rose gold, too.
Yeah, but isn't the rose gold?
It's like a little bit pinker gold.
But it's still shiny. It's a still shiny, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Gold. Okay.
It will either be dull finish or shiny finish.
Yeah, I'm going to guess they would do it like a dull finish instead of like a shiny rose gold finish. But
yeah, me too. Just to kind of keep consistent with the iPhone look. Okay. Besides new colors, what else do you think we're going to get here?
Huge processor upgrade.
Oh, so big.
So fast.
So fast. The fastest processor. Biggest processor. Yes.
And then a much needed, I feel like a much needed camera upgrade,
mm-hmm.
Higher pixel count, but hopefully, you know, also just improved overall as well.
Higher quality, indeed. Hopefully lower light performance will be much improved.
I would put this on as a maybe sapphire display. I don't know who Apple's supplier is going to be to make millions of sapphire displays right now.
Because the last one was supposed to have sapphire.
I don't even want to bring that out too well. So don't even want to say this might happen.
Yeah.
As much as we talked about this, and we just never happened on the Apple Watch, we talked about sapphire glass for at least 8 months.
Yeah. So exciting. And then.
Uh-huh. Okay. Continue.
Supposedly, Force Touch could be making its way over.
For sure. For sure. We're going to see that.
I think so.
And
An improved Touch ID and a stronger shell.
Okay, so I think the stronger shell is interesting because I'm sure everyone listening to this saw that Ben Gate video made by Unbox Therapy on YouTube, which probably has 70 million views now. It was at 63 the last time I checked. I think this is incredible. So Lewis Helsentiger, Unbox Therapy, puts out this video and it quickly is global news. And whether or not you think that there was a legitimate problem or not, Apple's clearly reacting to, I mean, what boils down to Lewis Helsentiger's video, because, and we should have mentioned this earlier, all these features and all these specs were, came from a new report from KGI securities and analyst Minji Kuo, who is actually very well known to be quite accurate. So he often gets things right, which is why we're even talking about this in the first place, because this guy actually gets stuff right. So he was saying that the new iPhones in response to the Ben Gate phenomenon is going to be using the same aluminum as your Apple Watch Sport, so the Series 7000 aluminum, which is about 60% stronger than what's used in current iPhones. I think that's pretty incredible. Some dude in Toronto creates a video on YouTube, and Apple is now reportedly going to be increasing the strength of the shell just to appease people, and hopefully so that Lewis can't bend it again.
after my second bent iPhone 6, I hope they do.
You're kidding. So this has actually happened to you?
Yeah, it's had twice. One too.
It's happened twice.
How does this? How would you? How do you use your phone in a way that you think there's enough pressure that
I only
for it to bend? Because mine doesn't have any issues.
I don't do squats on it that often.
No?
I honestly have no idea. I don't do any. I don't have it. I don't even have it in my front pocket because I'm so paranoid about it bending.
I mean, Leander wears his in his back pocket and his bent.
I know. No, not at all. And I sit heavily on it every single day.
Blows my mind. And I've actually.
I weigh 400 pounds. And
I mean, you do have incredibly soft and supple buttocks.
Yeah, there's that.
They're like the memory foam of the Casper mattress. They just engulf your iPhone and wrap it and protect it.
Indeed. But I'm looking at it now. It's flat as a pancake.
So is mine.
I've had like five friends, like IRL friends, that have had bent iPhone 6s.
That's incredible.
It's not. It's not like a thing that doesn't exist. It's Bengate is real.
Bengate is real. I think we just found our title. So you're saying that his video was not overblown. It was actually an accurate portrayal of a phenomenon that many people are experiencing.
Well, I mean, okay, his video was
obviously
him,
he forcefully did it. I had that same problem as Alex. Yeah.
Interesting. Have you got a new one too, Buster?
Yeah, it was just a few weeks into it. And then my new one's been fine. And when I swapped it out, they were like, well, what'd you do to bend it? And I told them I had no idea. Like, I've never had a problem with like the old iPhones, like being in your pocket or like worrying if you were going to sit on it, like on the bed or couch or something, you know?
The fact that two people on this show have had bend phones, I mean, I think says a lot.
Buster bent his MacBook.
But that's a MacBook, you know. Like, you know, if you sit on your iPhone 5S, you really have never worried about it bending, you know, possibly right. The display breaking, like, because you're like got like something really hard in your pants, maybe. But
No, but like my current 6 is bent a little, and so I've got it in a case and I can't tell, but like I'm hoping that when I take it back into AT&T to swap it out for my next phone, they're not like, oh, this is slightly bent.
Oh, they're not even going to notice, I doubt. Is it that obvious when you're looking at it?
I mean, it's bent? If you hold a phone up and look at it straight on, you can tell that it's not straight.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to do that. They're going to, the AT&T employee doesn't care. So what else do we have, Buster? I think that might actually have been it.
More RAM.
More RAM. So potentially going from 1 gig of DDR3 to 2 gigs of DDR4, which is faster. It's something that you probably will never notice, but it makes you get the warm and fuzzies knowing that it could be there. There was also a rumor that we might see a limited edition iPhone 6. That was part of the report, that there might be like a rose gold limited edition.
Oh, they're saying the rose gold would be limited?
Well, I'm not saying that it would have to be rose gold, but it could be something like a rose gold iPhone, but it would have like the sapphire display, and that might be the one that gets the sapphire. He was saying was the one that is limited edition. That sounds absolutely wacky to me, but not without precedent, because now Apple is doing the limited edition watch. Why not do a limited edition iPhone for like the China market? Because they love gold. Imagine if they did like an actual gold iPhone.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, that's like so Virtu, you know,
style. What does that mean?
I guess if that the luxury smartphone company that Johnny Ive is obsessed with.
Oh, is he? Is he obsessed with them?
I think so, right, Leander?
Yeah. He was just studying them really carefully. Yeah, he made a, you know, he was amazed that there was a market for these. You know, they sell phones that are encrusted in jewels or gold plated. For $500,000 and up.
God, my gosh, I'm amazed that they can do that. Who's buying a Swarovski crystal covered? I can't say it.
There's lots iPhone. Of, you know, and stupid rich people in the world, you know?
Well, they're not really. I mean, they're actually feature phones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they so all they do is make calls. And for, you know, a lot of rich people, it's perfect because they can't be tracked. They can't spy on them. Mm-hmm. They can't see what they're doing. They have staff to take care of things like, you know, appointments and contacting people and, you know, answering their email. They already have a staff of 12 to answer their email, you know. So all they do, they just use it for taking phone calls. And it's completely unique, right? No one else has got a phone like it. So it stands out. But, you know, I don't know whether Apple could get a, you know, I mean, they're also gone in that way. I mean, they're going that way a little bit, but I, you know, like the gold watch, I think, really is like a marketing exercise. I don't think it's like a real product.
I think you're right.
And I, you know, so I'm a bit doubtful they would do it. But maybe a gold iPhone, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe a gold iPhone would have the same effect. You know, if Kanye has a gold iPhone,
right,
then it's you know, it lends cachet to the, you know, the regular iPhone that we all buy.
That very well might be true. And in China, maybe there's some element of that where if they have like some model positioned as something that only extremely rich people have and use, that will help them sell the other iPhones better.
Yeah, well, they're definitely
I was just going to say Kanye has the solid gold Apple Watch. So
he does?
Yeah.
I'm getting one. I need one now, too. Okay, well, let's move on. I think we sufficiently talked about that one. Let's talk about Nintendo, Alex. So we talked about Nintendo in the past, and they are going to be releasing their games into the world of mobile. And I thought this was incredibly exciting. They recently announced that they're coming out with some games. Did they say when those games are coming out or what we will be seeing?
Well, they have 5 games that they're bringing, they said, by 2017, and then one this year. And I'm kind of nervous because they're saying they're not going to do ports. Like, they're not going to take It's-a-me and, you know, make it just for the iPhone. So I'm hoping that they don't do, like, any of the weird Wii stuff, like, where they do. They have some really weird stuff on the
Wii.
They
do have some super zany games.
Well, just, like, the secondary monitor stuff is really weird, and I hope they don't make some really, like, dumbed down. They're saying it's going to be really quality, like, designed for mobile, but, like, console-level quality game with IP. You know, Nintendo takes its IP very seriously, so I'm sure they're going to put everything they have into it. But at the same time, I hope they actually do some of their, like, they have to, because they know that's going to make the money. Like, people would, Mario, you know, 64, you know, Super Mario World in the App Store would be at the top of the App Store indefinitely, even if it was priced at like $10 or something.
Which so, it will be, probably. No doubt. Yeah, it'll totally be above $10.
Yeah, but I would pay $10 for that. If it was like a Nintendo-ordained, like, awesome port of Super Mario, that might actually make me get a Bluetooth controller for iOS.
Oh, totally.
Use one.
If they did, even if they didn't come out with any new type of games, and they just do what Nintendo does best, right? They take properties that they've been selling for years, 20, 30 years, and just put them on new devices.
Yeah.
So if they brought, like, Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3 to the iPhone and sold it for $15-$20.
Yeah, man. Or like Mario Kart.
That. Or especially if you could do Mario Kart against your friends.
Yes.
That would be pretty awesome. I don't know if you could do it live though, unless they were in the room.
Yeah, I don't know. Even like Legend of Zelda or like something like that would be awesome. So a lot of awesome stuff they can do. I just hope that they don't screw it up.
So we were concerned when we talked about this on a previous show that, I think Buster, it might have been you, that they were just going to drop some shite, just some stinker of a game that no one's going to want to play just so they can make some ducats. What do you think, Buster?
I'm hoping that it sounds like they're going to be better than like a crappy Jungle Run type of knockoff or, you know, Candy Crush ripoff, stuff like that. So I don't know. I think it sounds pretty exciting. If they're only going to come out with like 5 over the next 2 years, there sounds like they're going to dedicate some serious time to them at least.
If you guys could choose one Nintendo game to make it onto iOS and then never again would one be released, what would it be?
I'd like a Zelda type game on iOS, like a really like deep one, totally new. That would be
like
sweet.
An RPG of some kind. Right. I wouldn't have pegged you as an RPG guy. I too am an RPG man.
But I think it would, Zelda's just got that old nostalgia feel, you know.
What about you, Alex?
I'm not really an RPG guy. I think Mario, I would be totally addicted to Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Kart would be awesome. If I could choose from any, since you guys are going cross consoles, this is going to make it a tough decision. I think I would probably do something like Earthbound or The Secret of Mana. Did you ever play those, Buster?
Wow, you're a real nerd.
No.
They are classic RPGs. They are those kinds of RPGs that kind of kicked off the genre on consoles that made people like myself, cool people, Alex, super excited about RPGs. And if they released those on iOS, I think they would do very well. In fact, fun fact, in college, I used to sell old school Super Nintendo games and Nintendo games on eBay. So I would buy them from people, you know, off of eBay or just from my local community. And I would buy them in lots. So like people would sell their whole systems and I would sell the games piecemeal. And games like The Secret of Mana, Earthbound, Final Fantasy III, like those old school RPGs, I would sell these things on eBay for like $100, $150 each. They're so valuable now. There's a huge community, Alex, of people that like to play old school RPGs. It's not just me nerding out.
It's just you.
Would you like to apologize now that we're recording?
No.
You can do it after the show. You can beg my forgiveness. Okay, well, before we continue, we're going to be talking about here in a moment. You'll be surprised by this. You'll never guess how little the top 10 Mac apps make in the Mac App Store. Buster was just talking to me about this before the show, and I was genuinely surprised at how little some of these apps are making.
Like, what would your guess be?
If I had to take a guess and you were asking me about one of the top apps, I would say per day, it has to be making $10,000, $20,000.
Yeah, that's why I kind of thought that too.
Okay, but that's definitely not what it is. So we'll be talking about that. And also, we're going to be talking about a gadget so wacky that it actually might be brilliant. But before we continue, I want to say thank you to Automatic for supporting this episode. If you don't know what Automatic is, it is your smart driving assistant. I have one of these plugged into my car, and the system consists of two parts. There is the automatic link adapter. I call it the dongle for fun. Plug that dongle right into your data port in your car. If your car is made after 1996, it will work with your car. And what it allows you to do is then download the free automatic iPhone app, which unlocks all sorts of insights into your car, because your car is a computer. It's been a computer for many, many years. It tracks all sorts of data, but it doesn't present that data to you in any kind of way that you can look at it later. So the automatic link tracks where you go, how fast you're going, and will put all of this data into your iPhone in a beautiful UI on the app. And it will show you your routes, where you've been, what your gas mileage was. They just did an update too, so it will show you, based upon real gas prices in your area, how much gas you spent for a particular trip, whether or not you use unleaded or super unleaded. Having a hard time saying that word. It will also show you unleaded. It will also show you where you parked. So if you parked your car somewhere and you can't remember where it is, the automatic app will show you exactly where you parked. I think more importantly, though, what the automatic has done for me, truly, has made me aware of my lead foot. So when you accelerate too quickly, when you brake too hard, the automatic link adapter has a little built-in speaker, and it will chirp at you just to kind of get your attention so that you realize you're driving too hard and you're using more gas than you need to. And that's kind of the main point of the automatic, is it helps you save gas by driving not like El Caney. And if you've seen El Caney drive, it's like watching someone it's like watching someone go to one of those water coolers and press like the cold water button, and you see all those bubbles coming up. That's what his gas tank looks like when he drives.
Dude, or Buster, man.
Is Buster a lead foot too?
Buster's way worse.
Actually,
I'm surprised Buster's alive, honestly. I have nightmares of our times driving through the Vegas Strip.
You wake up screaming, "No, Buster," and you're sweating.
Yeah.
I think actually I drove with you too, Buster, and I remember being fearful during certain parts of the drive, but not terrified, not overly terrified. In any case, Automatic is great. They're normally $100, but if you go to automatic.com/cult, you can get one for $80. You also get a free 45-day return policy and 2-day free shipping. And, buy one, give it a shot, see how you like it. You have 45 days to return it if you decide it's not for you. I really like mine. It shows you so much more information that I'm not even able to convey. I want to thank Automatic for supporting this episode. That's automatic.com/cult. Okay, Buster.
What up?
Top 10 Mac apps.
Top 10 Mac apps. They don't make much.
So the Mac App Store has kind of been not as popular as they were expecting, is my guess. I don't ever use it for anything. In fact, I forget that it's even there. Do you guys use it to download apps?
I never use it to like browse apps. I always discover apps, you know, outside of the Mac App Store. But if they're sold through the Mac App Store, then, you know, I'll buy them through it.
Yeah, I normally get mine outside the Mac App Store too, and I never even think to look there. So what are some of the popular apps that are on there, and how much typically do these kinds of apps make?
Well, so there was a guy named Sam Sofs, and he made an app called
Sofis. Sam Sofis, okay.
And he made an app called Redacted, and the first day it hit top 10.
Top 10,
Number 8 in the paid spot for the U.S. And so he says that, like, he was, you know, asking friends on Twitter to guess how much he'd make, and everybody was way off. You know, like the average everybody guessed was around $12,000, and he really just made $302 that day.
Wow.
And only had 94 downloads.
Sales to be in the top paid.
Yeah. He had 59 sales, and that put him in the top paid.
Uh-huh.
Now, I wonder if this is kind of like iTunes, where when you are new, they put you in, if you're newer and you start getting sales or downloads quickly, they put you into like a new category, and no, then eventually you fade out.
That's really it, because he was at the top of Product Hunt for the day, you know, and had tons of referrals over there. He only had, like Alex said, 59 sales in the U.S. and 94 downloads overall. And he was in the top of a ton of charge.
Well, say what his app was. It's an app called Redacted. And, I mean, it's a very niche app. Like, all it does is let you redact certain parts of images really quickly. So it's something that Photoshop and Pixelmator and all these apps can do already. It just simplifies it.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter, Alex, because, I mean, I think the point is that he was at the top. He was at the top, and he only made $302. That is astounding.
It definitely is. I'm just saying, like, it's not like he had, like, some hot game or something, you know?
Right, yeah. But it didn't take much to crack it at all. It's such a silly app. No, that's,
yeah, the Mac App Store obviously has, like, zero traction. And you can really tell.
Like, it takes nothing to hit the top, yeah.
The stuff that's in there and, like, it never gets updated. Like, the App Store on iOS gets updated consistently, like, every week, sometimes twice a week, like, the front page. And there's always all these editors' picks and all that stuff, and it's curated. And like the Mac App Store literally can go a month without changing. Like, well, right. It's so stacked.
Backwater, isn't it? Your classic backwater. When was the last time you downloaded any software from the Mac App Store?
I don't download a lot of Mac apps.
Not that often. I mean,
how much was his app, Alex? Was it like $5?
Yeah, $4.99.
Okay, so his app was obviously also very inexpensive.
Yeah,
because I'm looking at the App Store now, and I'm like, okay, one of these apps is 50, another one is 50, another one's 100. So if you multiply that times, you know, how many sales he had, what, 50 times,
or but that's the thing 50. he was number 8 on the top paid chart, not the top downloads chart. That he made, he was the top 8 earner for that day with $300. $302.
Oh, that's a good point. It's hard to argue with that point.
So, Lester. I mean, a few other, you know, they might, you know, be selling for $40, but they only sell like 2 a day or something.
I wonder if eventually they're just gonna scrap this. I always thought this was a questionable move for Apple. It made sense in that the iOS App Store has been so successful, but I don't know. It never really made a ton of sense for me as far as Macs are concerned, because you can get your software from so many places.
I don't know. I think Apple was trying to replicate a little of the iOS. They want to control the app universe on the Mac like they do on iOS, and they're realizing, I think, that they just can't, because it's an established platform. Like with iOS, they got to put the App Store in at the beginning, and this is, you know, the Mac's been around forever, and people are used to downloading apps from different websites, and I don't know. This just hasn't taken off.
Plus, with the Mac App Store, I think one of its biggest weaknesses is, and correct me if I'm wrong, since I haven't used this a lot, maybe this functionality exists, but the ability to use something before paying for it for 30 days, you know, like...
Yeah, there's no trials.
There are no trials. Yeah. Okay.
Which there aren't on iOS either, to be fair, and iOS has done just fine.
But you have to get your apps in the iOS App Store. That's, you have no other choice.
Way. Right. Yeah. And well, I don't even think it's trials. I think it's like just the Mac App Store has always sucked. It's been so buggy. Have you ever tried to, like, even when they've forced system updates into the Mac App Store, like the only time people usually open the Mac App Store these days is for system updates, right?
That's the only reason I ever open it.
And they sometimes they don't show up, or they like show up again after I've already installed them, or they like disappear, or like the button doesn't work. Like, I've had so many issues using the app itself. It's very neglected.
Now, I'm not a developer, but aren't the apps that you download via the Mac App Store, they're limited in...
Yes, they are. They're sandboxed, yeah.
Okay, so they're sandboxed apps, so the developers don't have as much access to your system, so they probably aren't as powerful as...
They're not. And so a lot of apps will offer fuller versions on their own websites and then kind of dumb down ones on the Mac App Store.
The dumbed down version for the same price on the Mac App Store for people that don't know that software exists elsewhere.
But there is a huge benefit to the idea of the Mac App Store, because like if you log in with your Apple ID on any Mac, all of your apps can be downloaded on it and you get all of the updates and everything. So it's like, it's a really easy way to like switch Macs. And I wish they could do that for non Mac App Store apps, but I mean, there is some value to it. It's just not all there.
I guess it makes sense if you are a new computer user. Let's be honest. That's probably what this is for, right? It's for the new computer user who is like, how do I use a Mac? Macs are so difficult to use. And then they open the Mac App Store. It's like, oh, how easy. I can just buy my software here and it installs it for me. You don't have to worry about viruses. So it makes a very seamless experience for those users.
Yeah.
But for all the rest of us. Because the other thing, too, is one of the things that I like to do is if you buy a piece of software, you use your old license to buy a discounted version when it's updated, you know, and you can't do that on the Mac App Store. So if you buy Lightroom and they release a new version of Lightroom as they just did, you have no way to qualify for a discount. You just have to go pay full price.
Yeah.
That sucks. Did I cut somebody off? Did someone have some brilliant points to add here before we move on?
No, I was just sort of thinking, how long is this? I was just checking my watch.
your Apple Watch,
your broken Apple Watch,
your cracked broken Apple Watch. Did you get that fixed, Leander?
No, I'm still waiting. They've managed to go through three different service requests.
Uh-huh.
Two of them got canceled without them telling me, and then I only found out because I checked in, you know, a few days later.
Uh-huh.
And now this one is still pending, but it still isn't here. They're supposed to be sending me a brand new watch, and they put a hold on your credit card in case you don't send the old one back. Mm-hmm. But if you send the old one back, then they release the hold and you get a brand new watch. But of course, you know, they're on short supply. So it's sitting there waiting to ship.
So you're just wearing your cracked one on your wrist?
No, actually, the other one showed up. So the cracked one is just sitting here on the desk.
Oh, before we move on, for those people waiting for their Apple Watches with the modern buckle or the Link bracelet, I guess those are starting to ship now. Finally,
yeah.
So if you ordered one of those, keep your eyes on your Apple order page because mine said it was going to be shipping in June, as many of you know, and then all of a sudden, poof, my Apple order page said preparing for shipment, and within 24 hours, I had it at my front door. They moved that quickly. Like, you could get it and not even know it. And you want to make sure that you keep an eye out so that what you can sign that pre-release so that the delivery company doesn't take your watch back. That's the worst, isn't it? They deliver your...
Yeah, when you miss it, yeah.
Yes, and then you have to go to some factory 100 miles away with some guy who does not care that you have a package on hold and try to get back. Okay, well, let's wrap up with this. Just when I thought I'd seen it all, I ran across this story on Cultimac, and I thought this one was a real winner, and it actually might be genius. I'll let you be the judge. There's a new Kickstarter. Excuse you. I think I have something that's going to help you with that problem, Alex. Are you too gaseous, Alex? Let's be real. Let's just be real. Let's ignore that there's people listening. You have a gas problem. Gee, Alex. Gosh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you eat a lot of fried chicken, and sometimes that causes digestive issues for you.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing when you're out
and about. If only there was a gadget to help me.
If only there was a gadget to help you figure out how to fart less. That's certainly something that I've wished for in my life. Leander, I'm sure that's something that you could make use of.
No, I quite like it.
you're like, I'm actually trying to figure out a way to fart more.
Right, that's what I want.
That's the gadget I need. Well, there's a new Kickstarter project promising to sell you a gadget that will help you determine what is causing your insane source of raucous gas. It's a little box called the CH4. And here's how it works. You buckle it under your belt, perhaps in your pocket, somewhere near your derriere, and it will measure your gaseous emissions throughout the day. And then it comes with a complimentary app. How nice. And then in the app, you can keep track of the foods that you've eaten. And then the app, when paired with a device, will say, hey, maybe that raw broccoli that you ate 2 hours ago was not a good idea because your gaseous emissions have increased by 450,000% in the last 30 minutes. I think this is just crazy enough to work. I don't know how much the price is going to be, but If you're a gaseous person, we all know how embarrassing that can be when you're on a hot date and you accidentally let one go, Alex.
Happens all the time.
Does it predict, you know, a fart storm? So if you put in that you just ate a bunch of beans, will it say, you know, alert, in 12 hours you're going to be It's going to be a.
You know what? I don't think it does, Leander. But I think you need to be working on their development team because your notification names are brilliant. It should pop up a notification that say, "Warning, gaseous storm approaching." You have eaten pizza again.
It'd be a code brown. It flashes on your phone.
And they have an iWatch.
Dark storm approaching. It'd be like dark sky, right?
Dude, Dark Sky should do a farts app. Dark farts.
Dark farts.
You wouldn't need a sniffer for this, would you? You just have to be able to put in. It'd be like fart alert. You just have an app that you put in what you ate, and it would tell you what was going to be coming out.
Leander, I think you should make this. I think Screwcult that app.
Oh my god! Yeah, listen, we've got to cut this out of the podcast. This is a $1 billion idea. This is a unicorn.
This is the best idea I think you've ever had.
I've been looking for an app idea for a long time. Yeah, I can't wait to win that lottery.
Oh my gosh! You know what you need to do is put this on the Mac App Store, Leander, and before you know it, you'll be making like $60 a day. Okay, we better go ahead and wrap it up. I'm going to crack my knuckles and get busy coding on our new Dark Fart app. There will be no more cult casts from here on forward. We no longer need to do a podcast anymore because we'll be so rich from our Mac App Store fart app.
But what are we going to do about the watch? There's no fart apps on the watch, are there?
Well, they don't allow them to be. We'll have it as a quote-unquote weather predicting system. How's the weather?
Rumple, yeah, right. Rumpling.
Fart storms approaching. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Let's be honest, we can't top that. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. My thanks to Automatic for supporting this episode. Save 20% off your very own smart driving assistant. Head on over to automatic.com/cult. If you want to follow us on Twitter, that'd be so much fun. I'm at Airfon, Leander's L. Kenny, Buster's PST3R. And make sure you're following Alex E. Heath for all his New York adventures. And of course, at Cultimac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30 plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And Alex, let's not do a walk-in send out. Let's try something. Maybe a Connery send away.
Next time. Trebek.
Trebek.
Yeah.
Yo.
Gosh. 2 minutes late.
2 minutes late? Where's my dang quesadilla?
Oh, my little Heathy. My little Heathy bear. What are we going to do without you?
I don't know, man.
I'm going to think about you.
Night and day.
Mainly at night when I'm in my bed.
Naked.
Totally. When I'm in my new Casper bed, totally stark naked.
Casper.
Think of you.
This show brought to you by Casper.
This show supported by Casper.